started talking to you about a book in yesterday, that new book that was coming out that I didn't talk about on Friday, and then I forgot to mention what it was. I'm going to do that right now before I go on a little bit of a rant about our interstate system and the track at the YMCA. And it's all relevant to the truth. You'll see. You'll see how I put this together. You'll be astounded and amazed. Pull up a seat, get yourself comfortable, pop some popcorn, and get a lemon. And I want you to cut the lemon in half. I want you to get one of those old flat-fashioned glass juicer things with a little juicer knobby thing sticking up. And I want you to take half of that lemon and juice it. I want you to pour that in a wine glass. Then I want you to take some stevia, which is a natural sweetener that the Native Americans discovered. Or maybe it was people in Peru. Peruvians, perhaps. Found out that you could take an extract from the stevia plant, grind it, and make a very nice sweetener. In fact, it's many times sweeter than sugar without the glycogen spike. So take that, add a little bit, and then add water to it, mix it up, and you have a nice homemade lemonade. This is what I want you to do. It'll be spectacular. So the book that I'm speaking to you of, hi everybody, this is Martin Zender, good to be with you. I'm going to take all my articles that I'm writing on Romans, doing a series on the book of Romans, if you don't know that, in my newsletter, ZWTF. I'm on part 15, and this weekend is going to start chapter 3. I've spent 15 parts of this series just getting through the first two chapters, and I'm over 40,000 words already, so I got a lot to say about it. And if you're interested in this, and I think you will be, when I'm done with the first four chapters, I'm going to make a book out of it. It's going to be Zender on Romans, part 1, chapters 1 through 4. And then part 2, when I finish that, will be chapters 5 through 8. Part 3 will be chapters 9 through 12. And part 4, take a guess. That's right, 13 through 16 of a four-part series on the book of Romans. May even put it under one cover so that I can have this epic tome. And I can finally say, please turn to page 932 of my latest book. I've always wanted to be able to say that. To have a book with 900 pages, please turn to page 932. That's my dream as a writer, and I hope to fulfill it. Now, the problem with our interstate systems, and I'm going to get to Hebrews, I'm going to get to God being a consuming fire as a figure of speech, but the problem is that people do not know how to drive in the left lane. And I want this, if I can help one person to realize what's happening on our highways, if I can educate that person, then I will do a great service to humanity, besides the great service I'm already doing for humanity. And this is it. The left lane, get this, folks. A lot of you don't realize this, although many of you do because I have a very astute audience. The left lane is a passing lane. If you're not passing someone in the left lane, then please move over to the right lane so that somebody who does want to pass can get past you. Because I have seen traffic backed up for a mile. I've counted my last trip, wherever it was, to Alabama, I counted like 25 cars because some slug in the left lane was tooling along in the left lane, not thinking it was just an alternative lane to drive in. I don't feel like driving in the right lane today, so I think I'll drive in the left lane. It's just an alternative lane, right? No, it's not. It's a passing lane. And if you're not moving rapidly past slower traffic in the right lane, you have no reason to be. You have no right to be in that left lane. And by the way, if you do decide to pass, pass with authority. Don't just inch past. I was in the right lane and I see people inching past me, or they're hanging on my left bumper. And I'm in the right lane and I'm thinking, and the people are behind them are going crazy and you're causing road rage. People, the left lane is not an alternative lane to drive in. It's a passing lane. All traffic should be in the right lane. All traffic, unless you want to get past somebody. Pass and get back. Pass and get back. And don't dawdle about it. Now, Colorado has an epidemic. People don't know how to drive in Colorado. I've never seen anything like it when I lived there. Traffic on Interstate 25 between Colorado Springs and Denver backed up for miles. And it's all because people think the left lane is just an alternative lane. And so they camp there. And people are driving side by side, oblivious Oh, look at the beautiful mountains. Aren't they wonderful? There's snow on them. No. Get past. Go. Move. And then get back on the right lane. Now, I'm an educator. And as an educator, I feel it is my responsibility when I can to educate people on the highway. And I wish people would do an in-service. I wish people in driving training, because they must not teach people to do this anymore. People are oblivious. If I'm the first person behind someone dawdling in the left lane, I must educate them because I educate for a living. So I will creep up on them on their bumper, hoping that sometime they'll wake up and say, "What? What's happening? Oh, I'm on the highway. There seems to be someone very close to me riding my bumper." And then they'll maybe think about, like, wonder why that person's doing that. In the meantime, they're going the same speed as a person in the right lane with miles of traffic behind them. And they might decide to think. And then if that doesn't work, I will lightly tap my horn. No, I'll flash my lights. That's a phase two of my education plan. I'll flash my lights. Why is that person flashing their lights? And if that doesn't work, I'll give them a little tap on the horn. And if that doesn't work, I'll give them a love tap. I'll actually run into them, just like poof, poof, like bumper cars at the amusement park. And then maybe they'll finally speed up and get the hell past that truck and move over so I can get past. Now, I run into the same problem, strangely enough, on the track at the YMCA. It's just really frustrating to me again. There's a protocol. There's a procedure on the highway, thus also at the YMCA track. The left lane is a passing lane. These two gentlemen the other day were walking side by side, and I'm running, and I can't get past them. And every time I come up to them, I have to say, "Excuse me," and the guy gets over, you know. Come around again. It's a very tight track, 21 laps per mile. So I'm doing 63 laps on a three-mile run around her. So I'm coming up again, excuse me, and I finally stopped them. I said, "Gentlemen, you're supposed to be walking single file. This is a passing lane, so either pay attention or please get over on the right side." I'm very polite. Well, today I had to do the same thing. There was this woman just camping in the left lane. So I was sprinting today, and I just finally tapped on, and I said, "My dear, I don't know if you knew this, but you're in the passing lane. All traffic's supposed to be on the right lane because I might be running past you and I don't want to run you over and I just don't want you to get hurt." So, and she goes, "Oh, I didn't know that." So I was very nice to her. I said, "Yeah, just go ahead over in the right lane. That's where all the traffic's supposed to be." So, you know, I'm a cop out there and somebody's got to do it, but and then people who do pass, they will do it on the track, on the Y, without looking behind them. It's like, I really expect too much of people. I really do. There's no awareness of what's going on around them. They're in a tunnel vision. So, yeah, just be aware of it on the highway. Thank you very much. Oh, I got a lot out of my system there because I'm telling you, it makes me crazy. Now, in Hebrews, here's another thing that makes me crazy. When people say this, God is a consuming fire. First, they think he's literally a consuming fire. No, if he were, he'd be flaming. Do you understand that? If this is literal, you notice how people say that guy was literally as big as a tank. He was literally big as a tank. He was? No, he's really not. People misuse that word literally all the time. I mean, I literally got lost for 5 days and he got lost for 2 minutes. You don't mean it. If you say literal, it means that it really happened. What's another good example? I'll look up some examples of that. Of the misuse of literally. Well, God is not flaming. You can't roast marshmallows on God. So he's like a consuming fire in that when he decides to judge you, when he decides to bring you to the truth, he will try you. And it will be like a consuming fire because this is a figure of implication here. No, it's a metaphor. And it means, if it was a simile, it would be easier to assimilate. We would say God is like a consuming fire. But when we say God is a consuming fire, people get excited. Oh, he is a consuming fire. No, it's a metaphor. He's not really a consuming fire. But he consumes like a fire when he decides to deal with you. He consumed Job. But he purified him. And fire does purify precious metals, such as gold. Now, because of that, people get the mistaken idea that the lake of fire is God. They get this idea because the word sulfur, the fire burning with sulfur, is theon, T-H-E-I-O-N, Theon, and it's a form of the word for God. Theos is the word for God, and it's the same root word. So people think that, they tie this back to God is a consuming fire, and they say, the lake of fire is full of God. No, it's not. It's a literal lake of fire, and I can prove it to you by the law of the metaphor, but I don't have time to do that today. The fire does purify. However, in Revelation 20, verse 14, the fire there in the lake of fire is not purifying, it's killing people, because it's called the second death. This is the lake of fire, the second death. So we know that death is, not many people know this, I'm going to tell you some really shocking truth. Death is not life. In fact, I'll be even bolder and say death is the opposite of life. So those in the lake of fire are killed. But Martin, what about the beast, the adversary, and the false prophet who are tormented in the lake of fire for the eons of the eons? Well, the lake of fire is not called the second death when the beast, adversary, and the false prophet are cast there in Revelation 20, verse 10. It's not called the second death until verse 14 when human beings are cast there. So for four supernatural beings, these are not humans, for supernatural beings, the beast, the adversary, and the false prophet, three supernatural beings, it is torment. The rest of humanity, I wouldn't say the rest of humanity because the three I just mentioned aren't human. Humanity dies in the lake of fire. A rule of scriptural interpretation, and not many people care for rules, is literal if possible. Luke 17:29. Our Lord is speaking, and starting with verse 28, likewise, according as it occurred in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Yet on the day in which Lot came out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rains from heaven and destroys them all. Now, let me ask you this. Were the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah processed in this fire? Were they tried in this fire? No, they were killed in the fire. And this is sulfur. This is theon, the Greek word used as a root word for God. But the reason that word is used for sulfur is because sulfur was used in the ceremonies of pagan religions when they worshipped false gods. So sulfur was a huge ingredient, number one ingredient in every department store. Whenever you want to perform a ceremony devoted to a false god, you would go to the grocery store and buy a large box of, borax, 20 mule team borax, or not baking soda, Arm & Hammer. No, you would buy a huge box of sulfur in your lustrations, in your ministering to the false god. You'd have to sprinkle it, I guess, on the fire. Anyway, that's how it got the term God. That's why God was used there, because of false gods. So people get this crazy, it's not crazy, I can see where they get it, that because that word is used, then this fire in the lake of fire must be God. And for a cross-reference, they use our main verse here from Hebrews chapter 12. Well, that's illegal use of the word, because literal if possible. And every time sulfur we see in the scripture, starting with Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur kills. Now you go to the book of Revelation. I'm winding up here because I know I'm over my time. Go to the book of Revelation itself, and it's helpful to go to the first place that the word sulfur occurs, and that's 9:17. We're going to get into this in more detail when we get to the book of Revelation. But in Revelation 9:17, we have the supernatural horsemen, scary as hell. I'm going to tell you about these. And from their mouths is issuing fire, fumes, and sulfur. That's verse 17 of Revelation 10. And what does it do? Well, by these three calamities were killed a third of mankind. So their sulfur is issuing from the mouths of these supernatural beings, and they kill people. Wow, that agrees with Sodom and Gomorrah. Sulfur rained from heaven, and it killed them. It didn't process them. It didn't refine them. It killed them. Now we go to Revelation 11:5. Revelation 11:5. We're looking at the two witnesses. If anyone is wanting to injure them, fire is issuing out of their mouth and is devouring their enemies. Okay, we don't have sulfur in the context here, but we do have fire. And what does fire do? It devours the enemies. So we have the lake of fire, and it does the same thing. So why all of a sudden we have this literal sulfur in Revelation 9:17, literal fire in Revelation 11:5, then suddenly When we get to Revelation 20:14, it's suddenly a figurative fire, and people in the second death are actually in a second mortality, and they're being tried and processed and brought to a realization of the truth. No! Don't ever glorify, don't ever let me catch you glorifying death in that way. Death is never a place where you go to be processed. The lake of fire is the second death. It's non-existent. The fire kills people just like it does in Luke 7:29, Revelation 9:17, and Revelation 11:5. Let's follow laws of language, shall we? I'll be back tomorrow with more. I bet you can't wait. I know I can't.